Broket of world. Today's daf from the Sechet Gittin brought to Meretz HaKodesh is daf Petet. And we're getting very close to the sad day when we must wish Gittin goodbye. But Ezu Sefer Kritut will come back, Bezrat Hashem. But right now we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah on daf Peches Amud Beis. Yatza Shma Be'ir. Mikudeshet, Arezu Mikudeshet, Megureshet, Arezu Megureshet. Very strange mission. Now we want to wonder about what the status is in terms of assumptions, the way people believe that a status is affected. Now, if we're talking about a kol, we've seen before that there are places that were mevato kolot, places that were not mevato kolot. Before we're finally getting to this sugya once and for all, how seriously do we take into consideration not an actual get, but a call that there was such a get, or not actual witnesses that an isha was mekudeshet, but a call. So yotzei shmo be'ir mekudeshet, arezu mekudeshet. So let's say if there's a rumor around town, and we'll see what we're talking about when we say a rumor, it's got to have some serious basis, that she was mekudeshet. So then we treat her as if she's mikudeshet, meaning she can't get married to anybody unless it's the person that they say she was mikudeshet too. And we're going to see that it's talking about over here, that there was all types of going-ons, there was a party, and there was clearly it was the type of thing that looked like a kedushin party. We don't have that anymore, but we have like the idea of a tanoim that people make parties about. Of course, that wouldn't have any halachic significance. But in those days, a kiddushin was made a year before up to, so it would mean that she was already an ashes ish. Megureshet, let's say that she was married to a kohen, and there's a rumor that she got a divorce, arezu megureshet, which means, as we'll see, obviously it doesn't mean she's muteret to other people based on rumor, but it means that we have to be machmer on her husband, that he's not allowed to continue to live with her because he's a kohen, he's a sur in a grusha. But this is only bavachilo yehi sham amatla. This is only if there is no amatla. Now, the literal meaning of amatla means a mashal, some type of a mashal, a metaphor of some kind. Because the point is, if I can say that what was meant by the rumor was this, and I can explain, it makes sense that that would actually be the event. So, for instance, let's say ezoi amatla. So, let's say we have gireish ishploni etishto al tanai. Okay, if it comes out together with something that obviously makes us take it less seriously, which is there was a tanai in the gireishin. I mean, so why should we assume that the tanai was mikuyam? So that's not an important kind of kol. Or Zorak la kedushia, Safek korov lo, Safek korov la. So there also, if the kol comes out together with something that makes us recognize that, well, I mean, so what happened? Well, I don't know. So then obviously we're not going to assume that there's an iser involved. Now, those kind of things are called an amatla, and we'll see. But obviously, it could have been in both directions. In other words, we could have said the same. The amatla for the kedushin was really the amatla for the gerushin. The kedushin was al tanai. Okay, or we could say that the gerushin was suffolk law, suffolk law. But this is the unusual way to do it. So we say it this way, so it's clear the other way. Anyway, so what does this mean? That a person is married and a rumor comes out, and because of that, we're going to aser her on her husband? But, I mean, we have this klal that we've had all along that Rav Ashi said. We never take seriously a kol that would aser a woman to her husband if the kol comes after the marriage. If there's a kol there that's before that she's a grusha, fine, so we'll tell a kohen not to marry her. But to say that he's going to be usher and his wife because of a kol, we never do that. Hokikama. Well, actually, what it means is that yotza shma be'ir mikudeshet, hare zu mikudeshet, mikudeshet umegureshet. What it means is this. Not that there's two separate things in the Mishnah. If there was a kol that she was mekudeshet, then mizu kudeshet. But the megureshet doesn't mean arezu megureshet, meaning that she's a asur lekohen. It means that if the same kol that had created the mekudeshet said that she was megureshet from that kiddushin, then arezu megureshet, meaning that it's as if, doesn't mean arezu megureshet, it means it's as if she was megureshet from the supposed guy that she was mekudeshet to. In other words, we don't pay any attention to her. She's Mekudeshet. Okay, fine. So now she's Mekudeshet. So can we forget about it? So that's called a kol v'shovro imo. So in other words, since the original kol came out with that which was mevatel the status of the Kedusha, namely that she was given a get, so because of that, we don't take it very seriously. Okay. Now here, again, I don't want to confuse the issues, which are going to become confusing enough for the different levels of kol, but note that over here, we're talking about a kol that was yotze together with the shover of the kol, with the amata of the kol. So, I mean, that is not absolutely necessary, because, I mean, if you have a kol such as Kiddushin, and then you have another kol on the Gerushin, it's obviously it doesn't need to be together, because if you know that a person is married, we said that the kol of the Gerushin is taken seriously 20 years later against that marriage, if it's Yotze before, let's say it's Gabi another kohen. And therefore, even though there are cases where you have kol v'shovro imo, which is necessary, this can't be the definitive case, according to most shitas. Omar Rava, let's talk about cases that would have made her an inappropriate choice of a wife for a kohen. So it's a Yatzul Hashem Mizana Be'ir. So people are saying that this woman, she's going around and she's been sleeping around in the city with some goy or with an evet, somebody that would have passed her for a kohen, and Koshishinla. We don't pay any attention to those kinds of things. My timer. People are ready to jump to conclusions whenever they see anything. So they see somebody, Rashi says they see him feeling her up or something in the park. So they're assuming that, well, obviously they were having relations. What did they see? They saw that they were, you know, a little bit out of bounds, but there's no reason to jump to conclusions. And as Rashi says, people are always ready to jump to conclusions. The fact that people are saying things means absolutely nothing. Why should we jump to a conclusion that it's really serious? Now, actually, we see that according to Rava, that means that pritzusa is not a sign in any way of our needing to pay attention. But that's not so partial, because ketanoi, here we have a brisa that says, if we see, here we're talking about a woman who is married. Now, this is inappropriate behavior. So we see a woman who is married and she actually eats in the street, in public. She walks into Tommy's restaurant and chews on a sandwich in the street. Good Lord, obviously this is a serious pagam. Or how about if Girgar Abashuk, she walked through Shuk Machar Yehuda, and she held her head up with gava. Can you imagine such pritzus? Or what about if she nursed her baby in the shuk? Rabbi Meir, in all of these cases, says that if this is the case, we have to assume that she's basically an adulteress. All right, so this is the way some of the Rishonim learn. Not everybody is made to this. And others learn that the question over here is, including Taismas, the question over here is the Gabi a Kohen. We're not talking about a married woman. We're talking about actually a Pnuya. So the question is, when we see the way that she is acting, it appears that she is a Putsa. So in that case, since the Kohen came out before, so we say that she's not Ru'uya for a Kohen. That's the Mashmaot, a little bit of Rashi, but that's definitely the way other Rishonim. And that's Tosfos says the first pshat was mamash motin Rashi. Rabbi Akiva, Ima, Mishi Yisuv Yitnuba Muzarot Balvana. We don't take this seriously unless we've seen this concept before. Unless the women spinning their nets in the moonlight, unless they sit and talk about it. This is talking about where it's nice and cool in the evening. Everybody goes out on their porch. The women get all together, and now they spend the next 3 hours discussing every piece of gossip in town, so that anything that you would possibly know about anyone is going to be discussed over there. So then, if this is going on, and they're claiming that she actually was an adulteress, but not stam, that she walked around in the street. So in other words, Rabbi Akiva does not agree with Rava, because according to Rava, any kind of things like this are bechlal, nothing to be chayshishan. And over here we find that these tanayim hold that even less than that, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Akiva. Omar la Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, says Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri to Rabbi Akiva, that's crazy. If you're going to take seriously the type of things that people say, then you can forget about anyone being allowed to get married. There's not a single Jewish woman that these rumors do not come out about. People love rumors. So obviously, there's always going to be a problem with someone. Again, so according to Rashi, this is talking about, but as Tosfos explains Rashi, that means legabi a kohen. There's not going to be any woman that's going to be able to marry a kohen. Because obviously there's people have enemies. Enemies, as Rashi says, enemies will make up anything. And the first thing they'll do is obviously they'll make up something that sounds titillating. And so that way, how are you going to defend yourself against titillating material? So because therefore, Tainus Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, you can't possibly take anything like this seriously. The Torah goes out of its way to say, Vatorah ba amra, ki matzaba ervat davar. So we know that, and according to Beit Shammai, forget about it. I mean, over there, Mamish, you would only be allowed to be Megarish on the basis of an Ervat Davar. But even according to Beit Hillel, this is the simple meaning of what we mean by a chashash of adultery. And Davar always means Edim. L'halano amra pishnei Edim, or pishlosha Edim yakum Davar. So the fact that people blabble about things is completely meaningless. Mala halan Davar barur. Afkanda varbarur. So therefore, how in the world could you possibly take anything like this seriously? So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is backing Rava's approach, because that's why we don't ask Akasha on Rava from the Braita of Rabbi Meir. Tana Rabban, Biula, let's say that there's a rumor that a woman that we never had any idea that she had any type of sexual relations, there's a rumor that she's a Biula. Can she marry a Kohen Gadol? Do we say that a rumor is enough to pass on her? Ein cheshishin la. No, nothing to worry about, as Rava said. Because we assume that they saw some preacher, so all of a sudden they're deciding that she's a bula. If there's a rumor that a woman with a chazaka, that she is a pnuya, is a nisu'a, ein cheshishin la. We know that she was a pinuya, and we have no basis of it. We'll see what it means to say that there is a rumor that we are chayish for, and that's only where we have all types of other issues that are going on at the same time, which we'll be talking about later. How about if just that she's an arusa? No, ain't chayishin la. How about if there's a call that she was arusa today? Well, over there, of course, it's not a contradiction to our assumption. I mean, at one point or another, she's going to get engaged. But it doesn't say, this woman got engaged to so-and-so. It just say, again, engaged, remember, means that there was kedusha. I'm using the modern English so-called equivalent, but it's very misleading. I wish we had a better term, but I can't think of any. So if it didn't mention to whom she was bekudeshet, so then ein chosheshin ha. Or if there's a rumor in this city that there was an engagement in another city. Also, I mean, people can say anything when they're far away. People can say anything if they don't have to give the details. If people are saying that a woman is a mamzera, also in Choshishima, we have a chazaka that she was a kishera. They say she's a shivcha. In Choshishima, if a rumor comes out that a guy had been magdish all of his property to hegdish, or so and so was mafkir all of his property, that's a great rumor. Let's all go and take whatever we can, right? No. Ein Choshishima. Omar Ula. Look, I mean, we said in the Mishnah that if there was a call of Kedushin, not that she was Mekudesh, but that she became Mekudesh, nothing that is a contradiction to her Chazaka. So it says that we have to take it seriously, and we consider her to be Mekudesh, and she can only be married to the guy that it's claimed that she's Mekudesh too. But what does that mean? That what? I mean, people are just gossiping with any basis? Of course not. Lo shishamu kol havara doesn't mean that we hear echoes, so to speak. I mean, everybody's echoing everybody else. So it's basically a big house of cards. So everybody's just saying the same thing. Nobody knows where it comes from. The point over here is that we clearly know that there were neirot, dokot, mitot, mutzaot. Listen, it was like a beautiful, you know, hall that had been set up, and they put up candles all over the place, and there were tables, mitot, remember those days, people ate on these little reclining beds, and everything was set up, and there was like a beautiful seuda, and b'nei adam nichpasim, v'yotzim, people are coming in and out, saying mazel tov, plonit mitkadeshet hayom, so-and-so is going to be mikudeshet today. What do you mean, going to be? So that, what makes you think it happened? Going to be doesn't mean anything. Why would that be enough? Maybe it didn't happen. I mean, these things, you know, at the last minute, they've canceled weddings. I mean, kosher came to cancel a kedushin at the last minute. Boy, oh boy, I've actually showed up to wedding with a big notice on the door. Wedding canceled. This is after driving hours. Ema, so obviously it doesn't mean plonit mitkadashet, but plonit nitkacha hayom, based on these events, so that the people had come in. And but I mean, we don't have actual witnesses that saw the Kedushin, but I mean, there's so much going on that over there, we'll take it seriously. V'chein toni Levi, v'roshi yishmu kol havara, we're not interested in everybody echoing everybody else's opinion. That's an interesting way of putting it, right? Kol havara, just the echoes. So basically, you try to find out what's going on, and everybody's telling you that they heard from so-and-so, but so-and-so he heard from so-and-so. And it all comes back to the same house of cards, and nobody has any idea what's going on. So that's exactly what it's saying. It does not mean, says Rabbi Baruch Chana, the same thing. Of course it doesn't mean that. Ela kadeshu neirot dokot, mitot mutzaot, bnei adam nechasim v'yotzim, they're going in and out. And Amru Davar, they say something clear that so-and-so was Mekudeshet. This is what we call a matla. But if they don't say anything, this is a call, I mean, but if they don't say anything, then that's an amatla. What do you mean if they don't say anything? If they don't say anything, it's not an amatla. If they don't say anything, it's nothing. So then there's no call and there's no amatla. I don't understand what you mean if they don't say anything. I thought they didn't say anything. No, this is coming to tell me that pay no attention to Rabbi Baruch Huna. That's why he said it this way. Lafuki min Rabbi Baruch Huna. The Omar, he said that whenever we talk about an amatla, we mean things that can come up much later. Afilu mikan v'ad asara yamim. So even if, let's say, we've got this coal going around for 10, by the way, there's a machlokas for showing you whether this means literally 10 days or just means overtime. So he comes to say that you shouldn't think, says Rabbi Baruch Huna, you shouldn't think that it means that, as I mentioned earlier, that we need to have the amatla coming out together with the actual kol, so that then we can say, well, but this is what was meant. But even if some other amatla comes out later, so that later on we hear that there was, let's say, a tanai in the Kedushin and so on, that is also perfectly okay. But now Rabbi Yochanan wanted to say, but if they don't say, what he meant to say was, if they didn't say the actual clear-cut Kiddushin, meaning that even what they did say wasn't clear. Why? Because it included the amatla that there was a tnai. So they said, plonit mitkadeshet al tnai. So then, and only then, huda havi amatla. But if 10 days later people say, oh, you know that story about so-and-so that she was mitkadeshet, well, there was a tnai in the Kiddushin, which according to Rabba Bar Avuna would be okay, according to Rabbi Yochanan is not okay. And that's what he's saying. That if ha'amru, if they said the amatla at the time that they were motzi the kol, then it would be an actual thing. So ha'amru, so if they said something that was 100%, meaning that there was no amatla with it, then later on, if something comes out, lo havi amatla, that's what he meant to say. He didn't say if they didn't say anything, on the contrary. Okay. So what we've been talking about now is where do we believe Kiddushin? Now, how about the type of kol that would be necessary for Gerushin? And we certainly don't have a big party coming on with the Gerushin. So what gives us the basis for assuming that there's something about a Gerushin? So here, too, we have similar types of issues with a kol havara. So here, Amar Rav, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. When we say that there was a kol that would be considered to be meaningful, b'nogea gerushin, lo sheshamu kol havara, here too, it's no good and completely meaningless for people just to be talking and quoting, so nobody knows exactly where this started. Ela kidei sheyamru ploni me'echan shama miploni, uploni miploni, ubotkin v'olchin ad shemagi'in ledavar habarur. When we're talking about this, it means that we're able to then look up each person, trace it back until we get to actual kosher people, witnesses that are able to tell us that she was Megureshet. What? What do you mean kosher witnesses? So then why are we talking about a kol? That's not a kol. If you've got kosher witnesses, you've got a Gerushin. So then Dover HaBarur? That's Edut Maliyatahu. You're trying to tell me a case of a kol, and you end up telling me it's only a kol if we absolutely know, but then it's not a kol. Elak, Yatar Shum Bar Yehuda, Amre Baba, Amre Vun Amarav. What it is, Lo Shishamu Kol Havara. Elak, Kedeshi Amru, Ploni Miechan Shama Miploni. Veploni Miploni. So we trace it back to a reliable source, but our problem is that the reliable source is not available to speak to, because they have traveled the Medinat Hayam, and we can't ask them. So there, since we have a clear-cut understanding of where it all started, and ultimately the people that are supposedly the source of it, according to everyone, are people that are reliable, so then we have to worry about that type of kol. But what happens if then, a year later, we finally get to those people, and we ask them, well, we've heard from a lot of people that you were present when a get was given. And they say, what are you talking about? Never heard of it. So what happens then? So can you be mevatel a kol once it was already yotzei in a fashion that was considered to be meaningful in Beis Din? Remember, these are not just private investigators. This is a Beis Din that has investigated the kol and found out the names of Edim Ksherim that would have been relied upon if they were local, and we don't hear from them, and then later we do. So that, we saw before, actually was a question because, again, of the nastiness of people. So let's say we find out that the kol is the Edim say, no, never happened. So the question is, will the Beis Din take a stand to be mevatel a kol, or do we have a chashash because of the rotten people who will claim that Beis Din is involved in a cover-up, so we don't want the Beis Din now to be mevatel a kol? And there's other issues involved as well. Maybe people think she's an eshashish, and we were matir, they won't know that there was a basis for the gerushin, et cetera, right? So that's the shayla. Amalei Abayla Rav Yosef. Do we mevatlin and kala in the Beis Din if we find these people? By the way, Rashi has another pshat as well, but Tosfos says, Rashi brings both, the pshat that I just said. Tosfos backs up this pshat, and that's why I'm saying over this pshat. It's not clear what Rashi means. with his other pshat that we had a call that was with Tinokot and Nashim, and so we'll stick with this. So can we be mevatel a call or not? So that would mean that a bezdin will issue a psak that we actually were mevarer the call, we found these supposed witnesses, and they said it's not true. Omale, midi omer of chista, achi yishma'u bipik sheirim. Look, the lashon of Rav Chista that we said is that we needed to trace it back to kosher witnesses, and that they weren't here. But, I mean, that means that we're not ready to just go around blabbling. We need to be able to trace things. So, I mean, if that's the case, it's clear that Shema Aminam Mevatlinan Kala. I mean, otherwise, why would we have such a responsible way of looking at the call? Omale, so Abaye said to Rav Yosef, on the contrary, I would say, Adarabah, since Rav Sheshe says, Afilo mipi nashim haviko, so Rav Sheshe, he disagrees, and he says that you don't need to hear this call from someone who's reliable. Now, obviously, the mocker of the call, we still paskin, has to be from a kosher witness, but if I'm ready to be mekabel a call from someone who is not a reliable aid, who claims that it comes from a reliable aid, so then apparently we're giving far more serious consideration to a call than we ought to. So Shema Amina lo mevatlinan kala. We are worried about the way people see the situation. They think she's an eshes ish. They think she's a grusha to a kohen. And because of that, we don't want to take it upon ourselves to be mevatlinan kala. So I would say Shema Amina lo mevatlinan kala. Is it Reb Chista or is it Reb Sheshes that we're going to look at? My late Reb Yosef said to him, listen. Atravataninu. There are different minhagim in different towns. And really, these minhagim developed on the basis of the way people would act in these cities. If they're more cynical, then we have to be careful about the batlin and kala. And in Surah, for instance, so in Surah, they would be mevatel a kol in Bezdin. They weren't cheshish that people would believe that the Bezdin is just covering up. Benarda, lo mevatel kala. There was a maisa where a woman was, it was this rumor that she was ikachila bar beirav, that a certain yeshiva boy had been mekadesh her. So Rav Chama calls the father of this woman, and he says to him, can you tell me what's going on? Emily Echaviyu, tell me what happened with your son. The people are saying that he gave kiddushin to this woman because he was no longer there. Omalei, so the father said, well, he did give her kiddushin, but he gave her kiddushin al tanai. And the tanai was that he doesn't go to Beit Chozai. So she was worried he was going to go away to yeshiva to learn. And the whole kiddushin was on the basis that he would not go to Beit Chozai. And he did, in which case the kiddushin was never chal. So says the father to Rav Chama. Omalei, so Rav Chama said to him, well, this is an amatla that's coming out later. And since it's coming out later, we cannot use it to be mevatel the kol. Because kivan de beidna, davi kola lo havi kamatla, at the time that these rumors started going about that your son had been mekadesh this woman, and it actually happened, now you're saying that there was a tnai in the kedushin, but now it's much later. And therefore, he's paskening, basically, like the Mandi Omar. We had the machlokas before between Rabbi Yochanan and Rava Bar Avuna. Apparently, Rav Chama agrees with Rabbi Yochanan that it's not mikan ad asara yomim, or even more according to those Rishonim. It needs to be an amata that comes out together with the kol itself. And therefore, I understand that it's a shame that we have this mess, but knowing what we're going to be able to do unless he sends her a get. There's another story that in the little well or a spring in the town of Beit Shefi, there was a woman who, in a moment of great love, accepted Kiddushin, which was really some pretty lousy Kiddushin. But the only thing that was available, it was not exactly a diamond ring. It was some pre-eaten dates that had that had a little bit of date meat left on the pit. And these were the kind of dates that never ripen anyway. So it always leaves a little bit of stuff on the pit. And that in a moment, in extremis, she accepted these date pits as her kedushin. Now, these are usually fit for animal food. They're certainly not a diamond ring. Anyway, okay. So Sholcher Ravidi Barov in the Kamidei Abaye. I mean, it's a lovely love story. Do we have to be cheshish for this kedushin? Yeah, I gave them I. So Abaye said, no. No problem. I'll tell you why. Because even according to Rabbi Yomer Lomer Vatlina and Kala, in this case, we actually, if it turns out that it wasn't true, doesn't mean I know it isn't true. But in this case, even if you're in a town that is not Mevatel Kala, here, if it turns out that it wasn't true, you could certainly Mevatel the call. Why? Because people, when they hear a story like this, they will say that if the Beis Din says she was not engaged, Meimar Amar, people will say, well, sounded a little bit fishy in the beginning, didn't it? I mean, is there a Shava Pruta in date pits? Probably the Rabbanan looked at these date pits. They said it's a lovely story, but you need a Shava Pruta to be Mekudeshet. So that's why this is a nice introduction to our next Masechet, right? We always have these beginnings. And I'm already talking about Aisha. There's Mekudeshet, Shava Pruta. So, oh, okay. So we're getting close to the opening mission of Kedushin. So probably they were Ma'ayan and there wasn't Shavu Pruta. There was another Maisa of a woman that there was this rumor that she was Mekudeshet to one of the boys in such and such a family. But it didn't say which one she was Mekudeshet. So says Rava in this case too. If it turns out that nothing happened, the Beis Din can be Mevatel the Kol. Why? Because Muhammad Vatlin and Kala. Because Meimar Amar Ani Bar Rabbanan B'Kedusha B'Kedusha Katan Avi. It turned out it was a little boy. He was 7 years old. And this happens all the time. The kids are Mekadesh. You know, they have an ersatz wedding. And it all looks like, wow, it's really, this happened with my kids, actually. So they go and they give Kedusha to somebody. And then the Rabbanan find out that, no, the kid was really only 7 years old. So it doesn't really matter much. That's what people will say. Whether that's what happened or not is irrelevant. But since people don't take seriously those type of things, so because of that, they will assume that that's what happened. There was another Maisav, there was a kid, he was 11 years old. And as Gavi will remember, and Akiva will remember, that's why they're both side by side, even though Akiva has the boost, Gavi doesn't have the boost, this is terrible, but I've got the boost. We're still waiting. So the story over there was, they will remember Killer Croon, right? You've never seen an 11-year-old as big as Killer Croon, okay? This 11-year-old looked like he was, I don't know, they thought he was 14. So there was this rumor that she was Mekudeshet to this kid. He was a katan, but he was near a kigadol. So people will think that he really was a gadol. Omele Rav Mordechai L'Ravashi, there's no problem over here. Because even if somebody looks like a gadol, people recognize from his behavior and his state of mind that he's not really a gadol. Ve'uvda, this case actually came to the Beis Din, and they said, Adayin lo higia liflagot ru'uvein. Because that's what's it referring to in the Pasuk. And the Shira, it says, liflagot ru'uvein, yidolim chikre leiv. So then that means this, that Ru'uvein had separated from the other Shvatim. And this Dvora was very upset about that. So she said, you need a lot of chikre leiv to be able to understand the psychology of somebody who would do such a thing. So what we want to do is refer to the depths of mature understanding as the flakot ruvain. It's fascinating use of the pasuk. But people basically can tell whether somebody has a fundamental maturity level or not. So even though this kid may look like he's 14 years old, people know that he's a katan. All right, so now the Mishnah said that these kolot are only meaningful if bilvad shelo teisha mamatla. Omar Rabba Bar Avuna, This is what we had before. And here's where it was said on the Mishnah. When it says that there's an amatla, it doesn't matter if the amatla comes out later. So 10 days later, like the case where the father said there was a tnai in the Kedushin, that the boy was not going to go away to Lakewood and leave his wife behind. And it turned out that he did go to Lakewood. So because of that, it was batal. That would be fine, according to Rabba Bar Avuna, and we would be mevatel the kol. Rav Zvid says, "Bimkom amatla, choshishin la amatla." It's much more kal than that. If lamaisa, there's even a place for an amatla. It's so reasonable that things happened that were not actually mentioned when people were talking about the rumor, but that these things were there. So if I have strong basis for being able to even suspect an amatla, so then that means cheshishin lamatla. Remember that we saw before cheshishin, the use of cheshishin is even to believe that something will end up being a kula, right? And that's, so it means over here, we're cheshishin, meaning that we will actually rely on the amatla. Remember, we had that crazy Gemara where Shmuel was ready to say choshishin, and it was a tremendous kula that this woman got pregnant. We say she got pregnant because someone had ejaculated in the mikveh, and she got pregnant from the ejaculate, which is crazy. We say choshishin, and over there we were sedech on it, and as Rashi does is bring out over there that we use that lashon afilu kula. So because of that, over here we're using the same lashon. If there's a basis for an amatla, we will be choshish for the amatla. Okay, the question is, well, you know, is this necessarily arguing on Rabba Bar Avuna? And some say that it's even more Mekel and he's arguing on it. Others say that he's just saying that we don't really need the actual amatla. Esrei Rapapala Rizvid, how can you say that we're choshish l'amatla? It says in the Mishnah, Bevat Shalote Shom Amatla. It doesn't say that there should be a basis for an amatla. It says that there is an amatla. So how can you say that, what, the Beis Din will jump to conclusion that there's an amatla because it makes sense that there's an amatla? Says Rav Zvid, yes. When it says Shalote Shom Amatla, means a place for an amatla, a basis for an amatla. It doesn't mean that you need to have the actual amatla. Omele Rav Kahana, Rav Papa. So now Rav Papa, obviously, he disagreed, right? He was saying, no, the Mishnah says an amatla is an amatla. So Rav Kahana now attacks Rav Papa. What, you think an amatla means that you literally need to have the amatla? Va'atla tizbra, va'tnan, nitkatsha. Listen, in the Mishnah, which we had in Yevamos, it says, nitkatsha, if we have an aid that a woman whose husband had left, she didn't know what happened to the husband, and all of those Mishnayos, one after the other in Yevamos. So we have an aid that says, an aid echad, that he knows that she died. Oh, will you? Oh, gosh. And she was nitkatsha based on that. And remember the halacha over there, mitoch chumra shechmarta besofa, yikalta la betchilata. We trust her to investigate properly because of that we're mater even to get married on the basis of an aid echad. And then her husband walks in. Now, in this case, she didn't marry. She accepted kedushin from someone. And the husband walked in. Now, what happens over there? So it says there in the Mishnah that if she was nitkatsha and not niseit on the basis of an eid echad, that the Beis Din had been mad to her, and then her husband walks in, she's allowed to go back to her husband without even having a get. Now, this is like the ultimate rumor. I mean, for God's sake, over here, there were 1,000 people at this big party and everybody saw that she was this kasha, and now she's going back to her husband. I mean, she's not allowed to go back to her husband if she was this kasha to another guy. So how exactly were we mevatel this kol? I mean, they're going to assume not that she thought that the husband was dead. I mean, that's a crazy situation. The guy walks in and he's dead. They're going to assume that he had divorced her because he gave her a divorce before he left. He was afraid she would fall to Yibum. And, okay, never came back. She relied on that get. She went ahead and was discussion to somebody else. And then when he came back, she decides, oh, I really want to be with my original lover. And she goes back to him. So they're going to say, "Oh my God, he's living in sin. If this is an iser of mazik rishosai, so don't we have the problem of not being mevata l'kol because it's sort of the ultimate kol? It must be because lav mishum demrin and al tnai kidesh." People will say, "Look, I mean, we know the husband was away for a long time, and he had given her a get, assuming, and why did they allow her to go back to the original husband? Must be because the second guy that was Makadish her took into consideration, listen, my dearest, if it turns out that your original husband who was Megarish you shows up, I understand that you would prefer to be with him, and therefore I'm making this condition only on condition that he doesn't show up." And then when he showed up, it was a condition out tonight. Nobody said any of this. It's all a bunch of fluff. But we're relying on the fact that people will create this fluff in their mind, right? So that means it's a mokum amatlai. Everybody's got it all worked out. They always have it all worked out. So you see that we do rely on the fact that it's a mokum of amatla. So says Rav Kana to Rav Papa. So what were you upset with Rav Zvid? It's mamash mishnei yavamis. No, says Rav Papa. Shani hasan. It's talking about over there that the husband was ma'arer in Bezdin, and he says, "Listen here, what do you mean she's mekudeshet to somebody else? Hello, I am alive. The rumors of my demise are grossly exaggerated, and therefore this condition is batal." And so, fine, people know, understand. I mean, that is pretty dramatic. So people understand there never was a divorce, there never was a need for an amata, and there never was a mazik rishasai. And the only question is, of course, so why wouldn't that be true even if she was married to somebody else? So ihachi, so then if that's the case, that there never was a gerishin, so there never was a gerishin, so then she went and got married on the basis of best, right? And the Bezdin, I mean, well, what's she supposed to do? The Bezdin says you can go get married. So basically she was raped. I mean, it's not her fault she ended up marrying somebody else. If the Bezdin told her she could marry somebody else, and the din is, unless she's an Ashes Kohen, the din is that if she's raped, she's allowed to go back to her husband. And over here, for all intents and purposes, that's what happened to her because of the Psak of the Bezdin. So Yachi Niseit Nami, if you're saying that that's what happened, so then why can't she go back to her first husband? And yet, as we well know, in any of these cases, she has to be Otemi Rishon and from the Sheni and Ein Lo Lo Ksuva Lo Peres Lo Blois. The whole deal, the catastrophe that follows. Well, why? No, because you're forgetting. Look, the whole thing works on the basis of the Mitoch Chumra Sheichmarta Leah Besofa Hekalta Lebetchilata. We're trying to figure out a way that women are not going to be stuck in situations where a husband disappears. We don't know what happened. We only have one witness. What are we going to say? You can never get married because we only have one witness. So we say to her, okay, we're going to be mad to you to get married on the basis of one witness, but you should just know that if he ends up showing up, boy, are you in trouble. Okay, so that way she does the appropriate research. She's only going to get married if she's 100% certain that he's dead. So therefore, we can't be makil on her. The difference is that in the case where she actually married the other guy, so over there, she should have done her due diligence before she would end up getting into bed with that guy, right? But she didn't. So over there, we'll give her that knas of the chumra of Yichmarta Lebesofa, where she just accepted kedushin. It could be that she's in the middle of investigations. Maybe she never would have gotten married to that guy, so she didn't do an iser. So the rabbanim weren't kainisur with this big chumra at the end. So ni seit the avda isura kansur rabbanan. But if lo ni seit lo avda suiskach the lo avda isura lo kansur rabbanan. Amar Rav Ashi, you should just know that any time that we're talking about these kolot, a kol is absolutely meaningless unless it's been examined in a bezdin. And so we said before, okay, so what does that mean? That we have to trace it back and so on and so forth. But stam kolot that people are talking about where we don't have, what we said before, edus ksherim, whatever it was, that it's relied on, that's bichlal not considered to be a kol at all. So everybody agrees that before a kol was brought to Beis Din, and then we know before it was even looked at by Beis Din, they asked the Eidim. That's not called being mevatel a kol. That's called there is no kol. So of course the Beis Din is mevatel that kol by simply refusing to acknowledge it. This is ridiculous. People are babbling. The only cases we were talking about, bittul kol, is where first it was examined by Beis Din. We traced it back to these Eidim Kesherim. We weren't able to actually examine the Eidim because they were Me'ever LeYam. And then it turned out years later that it wasn't true. So over there in people's minds, it's already true, and Beis Din already confirmed it. That, yes, but in case it wasn't confirmed, that's not what the Mishnah is referring to. Furthermore, as we've seen many times before, Amar Rav Ashi, I think that this is already a gaviism, but if it isn't, it should become one. Kol kola debos and isuin lo chashin alai. Whenever we have the kol that comes out after the marriage, that would be a pagam in the marriage, we pay no attention to it. It's only where it's there before. Now, wait, you say nisuin, but that implies that if you already gave kedushin, that then it would be a kol. Ha debatar erisin. So then, chashinala. So before she'd be able to get married to somebody else, then we would have to deal with that kol. If there was a kol that she was mekudashet, so then another person would not be able to marry her unless she got a get from that original supposed orus. Rav Chaviva amar not true. Afilo de botar is erusin. Nami lo chashinala. Veyokata lo chashinan. The din is that if she already took the step of being mekabel a kedushin, we do not insist that she get a get from this other person. If we would insist that she gets a get from the first guy, how do you think the second guy is going to feel about it? I mean, it's going to wreck the whole situation. So therefore, it's considered also to be something which is not appropriate for us to be chayshish, to hurt someone in that way, because of a rumor. So in the same way that we wouldn't turn to nisuin, we're not going to hurt the relationship that should lead to a nisuin. And Omer Virmi of Haraba, you should know, Sholchu lemibei Rav l'Shmuel, after Rav was nifter. So they sent from his Beis HaMedrash to Shmuel, Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu, what's the din of Yotza Aleha Kol Mirishon? U'bo'achar v'kitsha kidushei Teir. So in the case where there was a rumor that she was Mekudeshet, from Mr. Number One, and another guy definitely had been Mekadesher, so he gave her a Shavu Pruta Mao, and he sent back Sholach Lehu Teitse. She should leave the second one, who she was for sure took the ring from, but find out the truth. Ha'amidu ha'davar al-buryo v'hodiyuni. Let me know. Now, what does that mean? What's he saying? Mai ve'amidu ha'davar al-buryo. I mean, is he saying that this is Shmuel? Is Shmuel saying that if we find out that the original so-called Kedushin was not a good Kedushin, that then the Beis Din will now be Mavata Lakol? But Shmuel was the Rosh Yeshiva Narada. And Narada was the very place where they're not Mavata Lakol. So for Narada, after the Shmuel, so how could Shmuel say, let me know, and then what? I'll get my Beis Din together to be Mevatel the Kol, but wouldn't have done that. Ella must be the opposite. That if it turns out that we can discover that she was definitely Kedushi Kama, Kedushi Ma'ayaninu, then lo tzircha get Bisheni. She wouldn't need a get from the second guy. So you see from here that according to Shmuel, she does not need a get from another person in the event that she had already been determined to have been married before, which is not l'chora, not like Ravuna. Because Ravuna says, if a married woman goes ahead and accepts kedushin from another man, that we have to be chayish for that kedushin, and she needs a get. Why? Because of Ravuna's famous psak. The Amar of Ravuna, Haisha, I keep saying Ravuna, I'm sorry, I meant Ravuna, Haisha Sha'amra Lebala Gerashtani, Ne'emenes. If a woman says to her husband's face, I'm going to see, that you gave me a divorce, she doesn't need to prove that she's divorced. She's believed that she's divorced. Because chazaka eini shami zapaneha bifnei ba'ala. So accepting, this is, I think, Gavi, you wrote this down already, right? Chazaka eini shami zapaneha bifnei ba'ala. And therefore, if she goes in and she sticks out her hands to be makaba kedushin from another woman, as an ashes, another man tries an ashes ish, that's crazy. Obviously, she would never have done that if she's actually married. So apparently Shmuel doesn't agree with this, right? No, no. Shmuel can agree with Rav Menuna 100%, not like Rav Menuna said. V'idach yitma de Rav Menuna b'fanav. Remember, the whole point is, ein isha me'iza pana b'fnei ba'ala. It would have to be an act of really azus ponim, real chutzpah, to do such a thing. That's only b'fanav. But Shalom b'fanav over here wasn't in front of him. She was Mekabel's Kedushin on the basis of the fact that she's claiming he was first guy, never really was Mekadishmi, and the rumor is a rumor. That's not a, considered to be a chutzpah. Shalom b'fanav, me'izah, me'izah, absolutely she would. Why not? But okay, so what about in that case, Shmuel? Suppose they never found out whether that original marriage was a Kedushin or not. So bottom line, can she marry the first guy? Let's say she gets a get from the second guy. So is she allowed to go to that first guy? Well, Omer Avuna, Megaresh Rishon Venosa Sheni. The first husband, he can be Megaresh, and the second husband can marry her. But Megaresh Sheni Venosa Rishon Lo, because people will think, oh, if the second guy gave a get, and now the first guy goes and marries her, it must be that the second guy had a real marriage, which he needed to give a get for. But the only way he could have had a real marriage, they would think, is if the first guy had given her a get after his real erusin. So they will think, oh, you see, from here, that you're allowed to take your wife back if she had only been mikudeshet to another man. And the Torah didn't answer Marsa Grushasa, which is not true. So because people could come to make such a terrible error, because of that, you can't do it in that other direction. Rav Shinan Abreder Vini Amar, doesn't matter. Even the second guy could divorce her and she could go back, because people are not going to assume that she was married. Meimar Amri, Aine Rabbanan B'Kiddushe, they'll say, obviously the Rabbanan checked this out because we never really knew that the second marriage was a marriage, because we always thought she was married to the first guy, and they found out that it was not a kiddushin. And they don't necessarily know that in the privacy of Beis Din, that the Beis Din insisted that the second guy would give her a get. That they don't know. So basically, they will assume that it was never a kiddushin. Yatza aleha kol mizeh umizeh. How about if everything is based on a rumor? There's a rumor that she first was Mekabelet Kedushin from man A and then man B. We don't have anything that is real solid Kedushin, all rumors. So what's the din then? Amar Rav Papa says it's the same thing. Even if it's only a call, I still say Megaresh Rishon V'Nosei Sheni. Amema says no. In a case like this, she's definitely Muteret in either direction. One of them gives a get because the whole thing was kolos. And therefore, we're not going to be machmir that people are going to misinterpret this as saying that you're allowed to go back with a marzer grushosai, where she had only been mureset. People are, how machmir can you be on kolot? And therefore, she can go back to both of them. And the halacha is muteret lishneihem.